Welcome everyone to the first ever live episode of the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles. I'm the host for tonight, Tim D-O-double-G. Thank you for that big round of applause. And we are taping on the last day of February 28, 2013. Basically, I'll give a little quick history lesson on why I decided to do this. I guess even back when I first started podcasting with Classic Materia, who's here in attendance, and Eclectic, when we started the Cold Slither podcast, I started brainstorming different ways to do a podcast. And so, of course, the video method came up, and I said, I always went back and forth debating whether or not to do a video podcast or not, and of course my phone starts ringing right when this starts.
You better answer, it might be important.
Yeah, hold on one second.
Hello? Are you happy with the long distance carrier? No, I'm quite pissed off with it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh yeah, since I stood up, I guess I can show off my X-Men Jim Lee t-shirt.
Wow.
Ooh, did you have to go all the way back to 1993 to get that?
Wow. I actually got it a couple of Christmases ago, two, I believe. I figured since I was doing a comic book podcast, I'd wear a comic book paraphernalia. Shout outs to Adam Black for the Christmas gift, my brother. But the call was private number, so I don't answer private numbers. So they better leave a voicemail.
You're not going to pay that bill anyway, so it doesn't matter if you answer.
That's right.
Exactly. Plus, it's a house line. You know, a lot of people don't have house lines anymore.
I still got one. You're not alone.
Thank you, Machiavelli. But back to story time. So, yeah, I debated doing a video podcast, but I never did it. Stuck with the audio podcast, which you can find on my website, theclicknation.com. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And, of course, Google Plus came out with these Hangouts. So I said, be a good way to utilize, especially since it uploads to YouTube, and you can technically I could embed this link to the Click Nation website so people could actually just go to the website to view it. I'll probably test that out later, especially since this first one didn't go exactly as planned. Got to test the kinks out. But anyway, I'm going to do some quick plugging. Like I said before, theclicknation.com, click spell K-L-I-Q is the website. You can listen to the podcasts. You can read the comic book reviews, blog posts on sports, music, TV, movies, that's basically what we deal with. Follow us on Twitter at D the Click Nation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. We're here on Google Plus. Search for The Click Nation to like the page. And there's a community that I need to actually start utilizing more. It's just The Click Nation community. My personal Twitter account is at TimDogg98. And I want to give shout outs to Classic Material and Eclectic. For getting me started on this podcasting road. You can check out Cold Slither. It's coldslitherpodcast.com. I can't even remember the website now. And also check out eclecticrelaxation.com. I hope that's actually the website. Let me check it real quick. Yes, eclecticrelaxation.com. And also subscribe to the Eclectic Discussion Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, along with Cold Slither Podcast. And shout outs to, I'll refer to you as Dirt from the Pop Culture Network. One of big thanks to him for providing me with all the comic books that I enjoy reviewing now.
Actually,
big round of applause.
It's very nice that you do that because I get so many books that I can't even keep track of them. And I get books like every day. I don't even know. So it's just like, throw them to Tim. He'll read them. Throw them to Tim. It's like, Mikey, he likes it. You know, just keep tossing them your way.
Especially Marvel. But
yeah,
I have started,
I've noticed.
I have started reading more of the DC stuff now. And I check out Image every now and then, which is an Image book I'm going to talk about a little bit tonight. But there was big news this week in comic books. And it took place in the DC universe, and it was Batman Incorporated number 8 from Grant Morrison. It deals with some things happening to one Damian Wayne, a.k.a. Robin. Of course, this entire podcast will contain spoilers, so if you've not read any of the books this week, I hate it for you. We're going to talk about them, at least the ones I read and even not read, because in case someone here has read a book that I haven't actually read, we can still discuss it. But I guess I'll ask my distinguished guest, who I actually will introduce now. I'm assuming you guys' pictures will show up in this video. Classic, who just walked away from his desk. but I've talked about him enough.
I went to go get my comics. So I can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he went to go get his reading materials. I actually didn't take notes. My notes are up here. Hopefully, we'll see how well that goes. But we have Classic. You can follow him on Twitter at Classic Materia, no L at the end, all together one word. We have Dave Nappy.
What's up?
You want to give out your Twitter?
Sure, it's at Dave Nappy. You know, follow me for random New York sports musings and the random comic book quote.
Word. We've got Dave, give your Twitter account out to people.
It's at DavidMac90. You can follow me if you want to laugh, you want to see me make fun of other people. See people make fun of me. That's pretty much what my whole Twitter feed is about. So, and random comic book and movie talk and stuff like that.
As I call him, Machiavelli. Sometimes you hear me cuss him out on various podcasts because I love him.
That's how we do, man.
Yeah. And last but not least, Dirt from PopCultureNetwork.com.
What? Yeah, that's me. Sorry, I was asleep there. Just kind of watching. I love all these effects that everybody's playing around with the googly eyes and the scuba glasses and everything. But yeah, Twitter is PCN_dirt. And basically, anytime we post stuff to the website, I try to link it up there so you can follow when Tim does comic reviews. We post those on Pop Culture Network as well. So you can find those. You can find our toy videos. You can find, the movie columns that Nick Federico does, all the stuff through our website. And also, when I encounter really bad drivers, I always try to shame them online as best as I can. So you can find all about the bad drivers in my hometown and follow my Twitter.
Appreciate that. I'm just replying to Eclectic, who was checking in on the event that I created that actually wouldn't let us upload the video. He hasn't read all the comments this week, so he's going to just wait until I upload this video so he can go watch it after he's read everything, because he hates being spoiled.
That's lame. I haven't read it. I haven't gotten my comics yet. I usually get my comics on Sunday. But, in prep for this, I actually made acquisitions online of certain comics that I needed to know of before we did this. That's stuff I was going to get anyway.
Yeah. Was there a torrent of bits involved in acquiring some of these comics?
Let me just say it's acquired through a Bram Cohen invented software.
Very creative term. But so, Batman Inc. number 8. Anyone here who has not read it? I'll take the silence to mean everyone has actually read Batman Incorporated number 8.
First one I read, I started thumbing through it at the store, and as soon as I got in the car, I just cracked it open. I had to see what was going on there.
Cool. Yeah, that was the first book I read for the week because Dirt actually sent it to me early.
You're welcome.
Yep. I believe I read it during lunch. And, of course, spoilers, it contains the death of Damian Wayne, who is the son of Batman and Talia Al... What's her name? How do you say her
Al
name?
Al Ghul.
Al Ghul. And
are you guys reading this on the regular, Batman Incorporated?
I have been.
Nope.
It's one of those, everything that DC does is a combo pack where it's got the print and it's got the code for the online. I just go ahead and get those. I don't know why. It's just one of those, because it's a variant cover maybe, because they make it a little bit different. So I always get all of those, and it's one of those that's been that way. So I've been picking it up since issue one.
Right. And my understanding is that it's the last Grant Morrison one, right? That he's writing, the last Batman title.
I've heard that he's leaving the book, but I don't know specifically if it's this issue or the next issue.
Gotcha. All right, Tim, back to you.
Well, to answer your question, I have not been reading Batman Incorporated, which probably is the reason why I have a different reaction to after reading it. Because, the story was easy enough to pick up as a new reader and figure out what was going on. The Batman Inc. crew were fighting. The issue starts off with we see James Gordon and Nightwing find a mob of people who I'm assuming were being brainwashed, and it seems like I was correct in that.
Yeah.
We find that out a little later on, and I guess Damian or Robin was somewhere else and comes swooping in to save the day, which he did a little bit. And then he gets to fight in his adult clone, who is masked. We don't actually see what he looks like. Then he gets shot a bunch of times with bullets and arrows. And then he gets impaled Dragon Ball Z style on a big sword. And then he's dead. That's basically how I read the issue.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
And then we have Batman. The last page is Batman cradling his dead son. And then I hit the little iPad to go to the next page, and that was it. I was expecting something else after that last scene. I was like, oh, that's the end.
Well, if you had gone into it not knowing he was going to die at the end, then you'd just be kind of like, oh, wait a minute. You get to the end, you're like, what, that's it? He's actually dead? But I think because they spoiled it early, he's going to die. So you're just kind of like, okay, when's it going to happen? 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 Okay, it just happened. Oh, it's over. you know. I think because they had spoiled it, if it had happened like halfway through the book, you know, and then you got more story afterwards, I think it would have felt a little more fulfilling. But the fact that you knew it going in, that's obviously what you're reading it for. Like, no one's picking that up going, gee, I wonder if Nightwing's going to make an appearance. Like, they're picking it up going, hey, Robin's going to die. Where's that going to happen? And, of course, it's, like, right at the end.
It actually seemed a lot cartoonish to me. Like, Robin was getting beat up by his adult clone version of himself. And then, like, the other assassins were shooting the arrows and stuff, and they were, like, sticking it. Going through them and sticking in them in like a cartoonish manner, so it just seemed weird to me the way I was reading it.
Yeah, Batman Incorporated is like the weird kind of throwback to like the 50s and 60s versions of Batman. So there was stuff where like in the original Batman Incorporated series, he would go to Japan and meet a guy in Japan and who he wants to be part of the Batman Incorporated team. And the main villain had taken this guy's apartment and rented the apartment underneath, filled it with water and put like sharks and octopuses in it and then put a false floor. So when the guy came home, the floor would open and he'd fall in the water and be attacked by these sea creatures. You know, it's like crazy, outlandish, over-the-top stuff like that has always kind of been the Batman Incorporated, like it doesn't take itself as seriously, which is kind of why it was more of a shock that the death of Damian would happen in this book, you know, because Batman Incorporated was the book where like you got Bat Cow, you know, they find a cow and the markings on his eyes look kind of like a bat. So they call him Bat Cow and he's now living in the Bat Cave and Damian feeds him every day and Alfred gives him baths. And, you know, there's scenes where you see Alfred in the back just scrubbing Bat Cow, you know, because that's what he's got to do. And so it's always been that just kind of wacky, weird, kind of silly book of all the Batman books.
Okay. Now, Batman Inc., it kept its continuity going into the New 52, didn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's okay. The problem is Batman, when Grant Morrison started Batman Incorporated, he wanted to kill Damian pretty early, and I guess they told him not to, and to stretch it out a little bit longer. And so Damian came into the New 52, but there are all these kind of continuity problems. If Batman's only been Batman for like maybe 10 years at the most, then how does he have four Robins? You know, how does he have this 13-year-old kid if he had him while he was being Batman? He's only been Batman for 10 years, but he's got a 13-year-old. You know, I mean, it's like all these weird things that didn't quite fit into the New 52, but for the most part, they just said, screw it. We'll figure it out why it works later.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard the complaint about the, you know, Batman's been Batman for 5 years. How can he have four Robins? And then I guess Damian was created in an Elseworld. Well, he was debuted in just an Elseworld story, which Grant Morrison took and decided to incorporate him into the new continuity. And wasn't there was it Batman and Robin Annual where they showed like an adult Damian as Batman?
Well, it started in, I think it was Detective Comics. They hit number 666. So they wanted to do something kind of weird for the fact that it was 666, you know, because it's like the first comic that's hitting that number. So they did this kind of weird Batman in the future where it's, you know, not the Dark Knight that everybody thinks of, the Frank Miller storyline. He wanted to take it in some other way. So he had this kind of brutal version of Batman in the future, but they didn't, at first, they didn't really make it clear that it wasn't just, you know, Bruce older. You know, it took a while before it finally sunk in that this was Bruce's son who had taken over the role of Batman. And then as things kind of rolled along throughout the story, then you began to learn, you know, a little bit, you know, it's Damian, it's his son, Talia is his mom and whatever. And it was just kind of one of those special, you know, everybody thought it was just a throwaway story for being 666. But then as time went on, Grant Morrison, either he decided to bring Damian back because he liked the idea, or that was the whole reason why he debuted him in the first place. But then he decided to actually roll out, here comes his son, here's this little boy, and started that whole storyline.
It's funny because when jumping to Marvel, when Alpha was introduced with Spider-Man, I thought he was created with the sole purpose to be killed, which hasn't happened yet. Now he has his own limited series.
Sooner or later, Tim. Sooner or later.
They'll get to it sooner or later. But I guess before we leave the Batman Incorporated discussion, anyone else want to have anything they want to add?
There's been a lot of speculation, and I saw, you know, some posts online about like who's going to be the next Robin. It seems like a lot of signs point to Tim Drake, you know, sort of resuming his role as Robin, although this New 52, Batman only being active for 5 years, they explained that he was never Robin. He was always Red Robin. It always reminds me of the fast food burger chain. It comes down to him, and they have a few other candidates that they were naming, like who would be the next Robin. But I'll ask you guys, how soon do you think they're going to go on to a next Robin? Is it going to be a long wait like they did after Jason Todd died, or is it going to be like almost instantaneous, like within the next 6 months?
I actually kind of think that they've already hinted at who the next Robin is going to be. And in the early issues of, I believe it was in Batman, there's this one issue that is completely, like, Batman is a side character in the story, and it's like this emo girl and her brother, and the brother gets beat up all the time, and Batman comes and saves him, whatever, and so she tries to help out Batman and whatever. And I kind of think that that girl is going to end up being the next Robin. And I don't know when, but it just kind of seems like, why would they throw that character? She appeared a second time too, and I don't remember where, but for being this like random nobody character, she appears a couple times and gets a whole issue to herself. I kind of think that maybe they had plans for her, and now that Damian's going away, it kind of makes me think, well, maybe she's the one that they're going to use, so now they can have a female Robin, you know, because we're going to mix things up for the New 52.
Although the last female Robin didn't work out too well, so fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah, I think Harper Row, she was introduced in issue 7 of Batman, and then I think 12 she had the solo story, if I read things correctly. I did read Batman 7 when I was trying to catch up with the Court of Owls, Night of the Owls, whichever name it goes by. And then today I was reading how, I guess it was issue 18, I think, that she had the solo story where they told her origin. And Scott Snyder has said in interviews that she's going to play an important role in the book. This was, of course, way before Batman Inc. number 8. So I guess we have to stay tuned to find out what he has in store for her. And plus, Scott Snyder is like the number one Batman writer now. So if they're going to let anyone create a new Robin, most likely it will be Snyder. All right, so let's see what next I got. Jump to Image Comics. I don't know why I actually gave this book a chance, because usually the only thing from Image I'll attempt to look at will be Youngblood or Invincible, because I don't do The Walking Dead, not even the TV show, as Doug, a.k.a. Dirt, looks on in awe.
In horror? No, what?
I don't like zombies. I don't care about zombies. I tried to try them. I have watched season one of The Walking Dead, and it just, I like that it's in Atlanta, yeah. Georgia.
Yeah.
I was the same way. I've become converted.
Yeah. Maybe if I eventually sign up on Netflix, I'll give it a chance. But, Five Weapons, number one, which is a 5-issue limited series from, I didn't write the writer's name down. It's something Johnson, but I believe he does the writing and the art and inking, and he does everything in the book. Actually, discussing this.
Jimmy Robinson.
Is it Robinson?
Jimmy Robinson. Yeah, Jimmy Robinson. Five Weapons.
Five Weapons.
Yes. Okay. But
did anyone else
I enjoyed this book. It was
anybody else here? Did anybody else read it?
Nope.
Did you read the?
Yes, I have. I skimmed through it when I sent it to you just to kind of have an idea, like, I don't know, does this even look interesting? And I thought, oh, you know, maybe I'll get around to reading it. So I've got it, like, sitting, like, it's on my tablet here to read at some point, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It's about a kid that goes to a school, like, one reviewer sort of compared it to the Harry Potter series, which I don't like Harry Potter either, but that's for different reasons because I don't like stuff with magic, which is a long story. But anyway, the kid, Tyler Strainline or something like that, his name is, he gets sent to this academy for assassins, basically. Well, not even assassins. I don't even know if they're assassins. They're just like this school where they teach you in 5 different weapons. So they have like a knife club, a billy club, a bow and arrow club for archers. But shout outs to William B. West, who's watching. He just sent a tweet, which I saw. It's our worm viewer. He said he doesn't like magic either. Good man. But anyway, so there's these 5 clubs, and I guess his parents are these world-renowned killers. So everyone's like all in awe of this kid, and they want him to go ahead and choose which club he's going to join. But he doesn't want to join one of the 5 clubs. And the president of the knife club is this chick who I guess it seems like he's kind of into, but he sort of uses his brains to get out of not joining any of the 5 clubs. And then near the end, there's a swerve, which even though we're spoiling stuff, I actually won't spoil it. So maybe this will entice people to go actually read the book, but things aren't what they seem. I'll just say that.
Have you read Morning Glories at all from Image?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because I'm wondering if it might be similar to that, because Morning Glories was also a bunch of kids that get kidnapped and taken to this school, and all the teachers are trying to kill them, and they don't know why, and apparently one of them holds some sort of secret, and there's a lot of mystery and swerves, and you find out that people aren't really who they say they are, and some people are related, and they didn't even know it, and all this kind of weird, like Days of Our Lives type stuff. I didn't know if maybe that was what was going on here.
Okay. Nah, I guess if you have time, check it out and let me know if it compares to it or not.
I'll read it this weekend.
But yeah, that would be my, if I had a pick of the week, it would be 5 Weapons, because I enjoyed it a lot. And it's only going to be a 5-issue limited series, so I can give it 5. I'm assuming it's coming out monthly. I can give it 4 more months of my time, or however often the schedule allows for it to come out, if it's every 2 weeks. But anyway, I'll read it to the end. Let's see. Hawkeye number 8, which I actually reviewed on theclicknation.com.
popculturenetwork.com.
Yes, it's on both sites. Check it out, popculturenetwork.com.
Plug.
Yes.
There you go.
But, so in Hawkeye number 8, Hawkeye is paid a visit by Penny, who appeared in one of the previous issues. She's in a little bit of trouble. She needs Clint's help. So if you need to find an Avenger, go to the Avengers Mansion. Which brings up all kinds of technicality questions, like how can just a regular civilian walk up to the front door of the Avengers Mansion, knock on it, and get someone to answer? And number 2, I could have swore that the Uncanny Avengers were the ones staying in Avengers Mansion and everyone else had the tower. So, not sure how Penny was just able to walk up and get access. But anyway, Clint answers the door. She greets him with a kiss. And then we find out, oh, there's 3 of Hawkeye's exes there to witness this kiss. Black Widow, Mockingbird, his former wife, and Spider-Woman, his current girlfriend or current fling. So some funny stuff happens with that. Clint goes to help her break into a club, I think, and steal something. And as I wrote in my review, it's kind of, I mean, I enjoy watching Clint get into all this trouble and, you know, try to get himself out of it. But it seems like he should be acting a little bit more responsible since he's supposed to be a leader now. He's just like, this girl kisses him and is like, I need your help. I need you to do illegal things for me. And he's like, okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on, it's for a girl.
Right, and this is his time off.
Yeah, which I actually had a problem with the Hawkeye book when it initially came out, because I guess I had my mind set on the book being something different. But I read the first three issues, I didn't like it. Went back and read it again, and I was like, okay, I see what everyone likes about this book now. But anyone else here read issue 8 of Hawkeye?
It's sitting in my pull list at the comic book store.
It's in the stack of books.
You read it Sunday, right?
Exactly.
A classic, Dave Mack. Either of you gentlemen read it?
Nope, it's on the tab that we clicked on.
Yeah. I got it in my pile of books. I haven't gotten to that one yet. I probably will over the weekend.
All right. But it's fun.
Is Hawkeye
actually
a regular Avengers book?
He is.
So he's in Avengers and Secret Avengers and Hawkeye, and then he'll appear in like a random Spider-Man book.
And he's in Avengers
Assemble. Is he like the new Wolverine? Is Hawkeye the new Wolverine who's just going to be jumping around from book to book to book to book to book in everybody's book and every team?
Well, since he's actually hardly ever in, or since he's hardly in Avengers the movie, I guess what they said they can do is put him in as many books as possible. As I check a message. Oh. William B. West is wondering how he can get in on this treasure trove of comments that I seem to have access to. PopCultureNetwork.com. Shameless plug. But I like Hawkeye. I like this issue of Hawkeye because it actually seems like it's progressing to something. It actually seems like it's progressing to, because the underworld of the Marvel Universe villains seem like they're conspiring to get Hawkeye. So it actually looks like it's leading somewhere instead of just these like random one-off issues of what does Hawkeye get into this week. So, Matt Fraction, writer, David Aja, artist. They're doing good work. Let's see. Avengers Arena number 5. The book The Internet Loves to Hate. The Dirt is shaking his head. Did you not like issue 5, or did you not like the series, period?
Avengers Academy, I kind of had a love-hate relationship with. I liked some of the characters, but I hated a lot of the stories that they kept putting them in. But two of my favorite characters one of them was Metal. And in the first issue of Avengers Arena, they kill Metal. And so it's like, okay, well, there were two people that I really kind of cared about in this entire series, and you just killed one of them. So, like, I'm done. Like, I just stopped reading. It's like, I don't care anymore. That was it.
Who's that one? Doc Hawk?
But I don't know. Now I have to admit that I've actually kind of paid attention to the series. Even though I said I walked away from it, I have kind of flipped to the later ones. So I'm one of those guys. But I don't know if Darkhawk is actually dead, because they kind of made it look like he's dead. But then they kind of made it look like he might still be hiding out there somewhere. So I'm not sure what's going on with him. But I'm not reading it anymore. I promise. I swear. I'm not reading it anymore.
You're boycotting it like everyone else.
Yeah, I'm boycotting it by reading it on the sly.
Doing a little promotion here real quick. Let people know they can watch. Let's see. It's funny, Darkhawk is he's one of the heroes I think I actually collected his book back in the 90s. Oh, Christopher Powell. But
he was in the
whole Avengers Arena. of course, everyone think. Well, one of my opinions, mine and Dork Geekus on Twitter, we've both been speculating that this is all taking place in some alternate, not alternate reality, but a virtual reality, and people aren't really dead at all. And
the
Dork Geekus actually
odds or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And actually, Dork Geekus was saying he thinks, I guess, whenever this is over with, the whoever's the winner will become the new arcade in the Marvel Universe. That's a nice little theory. Best way to put it, I suppose.
Although, I kind of wonder, where can they go with the series after they whittle away enough characters? Because, I mean, the whole point is that they basically ripped off Battle Royale, and they stuck everybody in this place to fight, so they're going to fight, and people die off. And so then, like, what, like, how many issues of that can you actually do? And then once that's over and resolved and there's the one person left standing, you know, how do you continue a book called Avengers Arena about this one guy, you know, who's left alive?
Yeah. So I guess the question is, A, do they keep the title going or do they end it or do they just, like, rename it?
I guess
we kind of have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's one of those things that maybe you'd have to keep an eye on how good the sales are with it, too, because if it's one of those books that's, you know, not selling very well, then it may not even matter. They may just get to the point where they do, you know, 12 issues or 15 issues, and then everybody dies off, and then that's the end, you know?
Yeah. Plus, they, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say?
I don't like the problem they had when they had that show Prison Break. It's like, well, what do they do when they break out of prison? And they kept, like, dragging that show on. Like, but now they got to break back into a prison. Now they got to go to Panama, you know? And so I don't know. They could change the entire premise and still keep the book going that way.
It's kind of that whole Twin Peaks problem where the whole thing was built around who killed Laura Palmer. And then once they figured out who killed Laura Palmer, then it's like, what do you do for season two, you know? It's like, where do you go next? And then everybody just stopped watching because, okay, well, now we know it was Killer Bob in her dad's body. Time to move on, and nobody watched anymore. So that's like with Walking Dead. They'll never cure the zombie virus because once you do, then, you know, the book's done. There's no way to resolve that.
William B. West on Twitter says, I guess he's replying to my theory about the virtual reality. He says, that ending basically makes it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Which I guess would mean more to me if I actually had watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. As the studio audience chimes in. Let's see. Avengers Spider-Man number 17. I read it. I had planned on reviewing it or writing a review for it. I just haven't actually gotten around to it. I may or may not still write one. We'll see. It deals with Doc Ock, Spidey teaming up with the Future Foundation and shenanigans. I'm enjoying Paco Medina's art on it, and I believe this might have been his last issue because Mateo Scalero, hopefully I said his last name right, I believe is taking over. He was drawing Secret Avengers before it relaunched into Marvel Now. His art's pretty good, too, but definitely like Paco Medina. And Chris Yeo's doing a great job writing. He's actually doing, I think, the best portrayal of Doc Ock as Spider-Man. Nothing really, I mean, I enjoy Avengers Spider-Man. I wouldn't say it's recommended reading. You can read it if you want to. It's fun to me. Anyone else read it?
Yeah, I read it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And they had, was it the, what was that council called? The council or something? Hold on, I actually wrote them.
It was Time Cop. I don't know beyond that.
Yeah, they were like the Time Police. Let me pull it up real quick. Comic Reviews. This was the Time Variance Authority, who I'm assuming have made an appearance in the Fantastic Four books. But of course, here's Marvel doing more stuff with time travel. Every book has to deal with time travel now, it appears.
One thing I did think was interesting was that the authority, when they come in, they have like this clipboard of notes, and they see Spider-Man, and they go, oh, Spider-Man during this time period. That was really, and he shoots webs at their mouth to keep them from talking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, then at some point in the future, it's going to get out that it's Doc Ock in the body, because they have a record of it in the future. And when they say at this time period, it was him, that means in some time period in the future after this, it won't be him again. So they understand that, you know, like, okay, well, right now it's Doc Ock. So somehow it's going to come out and get public, and somehow it's going to get fixed. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they started to figure that out.
Yeah, it's just a matter of when it actually is going to happen. But, yeah, not real much to say about Avengers Spider-Man. Let's see. Oh, okay, now we're getting to the good stuff. Uncanny Avengers number 4. The much-delayed book. Who has not read it?
I have not.
You have not? The rest of you? David Mack has not?
I've read it.
I read it.
Oh, see, even Dave Nappy, who didn't make it to the store, read it.
Through the magic of the internet.
Yep. Go ahead and do it anyway. Don't worry about it.
But, okay, so... Hate it for y'all. We're about to spoil some stuff.
Yeah, go ahead. You're not going to bother me if you spoil stuff.
So we actually get the end of this four-part story dealing with the Red Skull stealing Professor X's brain.
God.
That's resolved. Well, not really resolved. It, you know, it comes to a conclusion for now. And then it gets good at the end, of course. Because we get this nice ending point. I turn the page. All I have is a black screen. So then I have to scroll down to the bottom of my iPad. And the bottom has some nice words saying 3 months later. Go to the next page. And I guess it's 3 months later. We're watching Havoc, Scarlet Witch, and Sunfire are running from some Stark Nimrods. At least one Stark Nimrod, and there's a lot of references to Cable and Ahab and Immortus. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yes.
And actually, I learned something I did not know. Immortus is the future version of Kang. Thank you to the CBR article I read, which they had an interview with Rick Remender where they discussed this issue and everything that's going to happen in the future, supposedly the next 2 years. But so references to Ahab, Cable, something about the Apocalypse twins, Immortus, somehow the time stream being stuck. And then turn the page. The final page shows the Sunfire, Scarlet Witch, and Havoc. They jump down to a sewer, and then they're speaking in the sewer. And then off-panel, someone speaks up. I guess has caught up to them. Turn the page, and you see Professor X standing there with his head cut off like it was before with the brain missing, and it's Red Skull, but it's not Red Skull, it's Onslaught.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep, which actually makes sense, because if he took Professor X's brain and Onslaught was a creation of Professor X's dark thoughts and Magneto's psyche being in his brain, then the natural progression would be for Onslaught to eventually appear. So we have that to look forward to. But that's actually, I think, it's going to take place longer down the road. Because next up we have, like, the Apocalypse Twins, and then the Ragnarok Now story, and stuff with Kang and Apocalypse. And actually, he's going to – I'm just spoiling a whole bunch of stuff because CBR had a nice article. It was a long article, but it, like, talks in detail about what all is kind of planned. So Ragnarok, the Ragnarok story is going to go on, and it – I guess Ramatut is the young version of Kang. So it's going to be, like, deals with Ramatut, Apocalypse. Oh, Wimby West points out that people forget that Magneto is a important component of important component for Onslaught. As I think we lost Dirt. Hopefully, he comes back. It's a little static on the line. Not sure if that's me breathing or someone else.
Sounds like space engineers.
Yeah, it sounds like speakers. One of us goes Dirt left. Okay, it kind of went away. Anyway, so, Rama is going to be a story dealing with Ramatut, Kang, Apocalypse, and Thor. And it actually kind of crosses over. It's not an actual crossover, but it incorporates things going on in the Thor God of War book right now, written by Jason Aaron. That there's a artifact that is very important. It's like supposedly they're going to make it like one of the biggest or most important artifacts in the Marvel Universe. And it's Thor's hammer, not hammer, Thor's axe, which you see young Thor using in Thor, God of Thunder. So that's kind of cool. And I like all the... I've been mad about this book coming out every other month, it seems. But that's just because of the slow schedule, having to wait for John Cassidy to get his act together and actually try to do a monthly book. But they learned their lesson, and they're kicking him to the curb, bringing Olivera Corpel, who actually I say should be the regular artist on the book anyway, because his art is great. But he's filling in for issue 5 when they bring in Wonder Man and Wasp. And then Dave Acuna is coming on for, I guess, the rest of the book to be the regular artist. But
Tim, you didn't like the art in this issue? I just scrolling through on my screen, you know, I thought a lot of it was just really phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, John Cassidy's art is nice. I wouldn't call it greatness. I mean... be able to do a monthly book.
I mean, there's some sacrifices you have to make, you know, in order to stay to the monthly schedule, you know?
Don't put them on a monthly book.
Yeah.
Put them on a limited series or something. Let them do the... They should have had him do Age of Apocalypse since it took, 3 years for it to come out. He could have taken
Age of Ultron, yeah.
What'd I say?
Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, Age of Ultron. I'm sorry. Which I might talk about a little later. Uncanny Avengers. I want to not like the book because of how long it's been taking for it to come out, but the teases of stuff with the Onslaught has me very hyped because I was a reader of the X-Men back in the 90s, and the whole... who is the traitor and how that was going on for so long. And then eventually it was Charles Xavier all along. That kind of brings back memories. So, and then all the stuff with Thor and Ragnarok and Apocalypse and Kang and this time traveling crap, which I hate at times, but also love at times.
Absolutely. Love hate relationship with time travel on my end too.
Yeah. A lot of people actually like it.
It's a staple in Avengers books, you know? It's a staple. It's, you know, like if you went back to like the 70s, 80s, time travel is rampant in the Avengers books. So it's kind of funny to see, you know, just, you know, what's old is new again, but just updated with different, you know, with different aspects being put in, especially with like the mutant aspect too, with the skull and him having Professor X's powers, you know? It's, you know, Kang has been around since, you know, like he's been screwing with the Avengers forever. Like who remembers The Crossing? You know what I mean?
And shout outs to D_Gman all day who was trying to hop on to hang out, but he says his audio was messing up. It's all good, man. It'll be uploaded on the website. I wonder if Doug, I mean, I'll try to invite him back. See if, I don't know if he just had to leave or if he's having technical issues. I'll at least send the invite back to him. Let's see, got some Twitter comments that I don't want to ignore. William B. West also says, plus Corporal was the guy who drew it when JMS was writing the book. Great fit. I don't even know what is that in reference to?
Thor, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was drawing Thor. I think. Well, he was doing Mighty Thor, wasn't he?
That's correct. Like when they rebooted it for the Heroic Age, he was doing it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and William says it's Thor. And Dork Geekus said he caught a fraction of it. Heard you say that you hate magic to that dude with the mustache. Indeed, I did. But I guess that's enough for Uncanny Avengers right now. Uncanny X-Force number 2. I'm enjoying this new iteration of the Uncanny X-Force that Rick Remender made famous. It's the, I say you can count it as an all-female book because it's only male lead in it is Puck. And I guess the villain, which is Bishop, who actually does. I was wondering if Bishop actually spoke English coming from the future because mostly all he does is yell and scream. But at the end, he actually does form some sentences. And it looks like he has a new manifestation of his power, which I won't spoil. But I love Ron Garney's art. The art and colors are great on this. Ron Garney does the art. And as Sam Humphries, the writer, told me on Twitter, the colors are done by Marte Garcia, I think his name is. Hopefully I got that right. But I'm enjoying Uncanny X-Force. I will continue reading it. Any comments you fellas want to make regarding it?
It's on my pull list. And it's also coming to my computer right now at the speed of fiber optics.
Yeah.
I think what's going to be most interesting to me is, you know, Phantom X and his female clone, so kind of how they get along in this book. And it's not, even though they're, I guess it's his clone, they're not tied by relations or whatever. They're actually making out with each other and stuff. So it's kind of weird. Yeah, I agree with you. The art is tremendous on it. Looking forward to more.
Doug, Dirt was here, and Dirt is gone again. We'll keep it moving, though. Uncanny X-Men number 2. It was a big week for Uncanny books. I count 3 of them. Uncanny Avengers, X-Force, and X-Men. This issue sort of was more of a character piece with Emma coming to terms with how having her powers be screwed up, and they sort of do the introduction of the new Charles Xavier School, and they introduce it to their new the new students. Then they decide to go let one of the students see their family. Magneto uses it as a prime opportunity to let S.H.I.E.L.D. know that they were heading to said location. And then there's a surprise at the end. Even though I said there would be spoilers, I try not to spoil everything, so not spoiling that. But since there's not a lot of action or fighting taking place in this issue, Chris Bacalo's art is actually understandable. And I've always liked Bacalo's art, but sometimes it gets kind of muddied. But this issue, thankfully, it doesn't happen because he just stands. He gets to draw people standing around speaking, which is a Brian Bendis staple. Is it on your pull list, Nappy?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm actually kind of curious to see where this whole like screwed up powers thing goes with the Phoenix Five.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and you know, yes, like it's such a weird hook for me, but you know, it's what's hooked me so far. It's like, I want to see what happens, especially for Cyclops, our man Classics, you know, number one guy.
Anyone know if you can actually buy those Cyclops Was Right t-shirts?
Someone will make it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably somebody's got a cafe press with it, but I that's a good question, man. I wonder if Marvel is actually putting those out there, you know. Get out and see this research.
Update on Dirt. He says laptop just shut off.
Wow. We lost David Mack 90 too, apparently.
Yeah, who knows with him. He's on the West Coast though, so it's not late out there. Maybe the missus was calling for him.
Right.
Cyclops Was Right t-shirts. You can get them at welovefine.com. One version of them.
What happened to your mic? Or your headset, I mean.
Oh, no, I'm just using the normal laptop mic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just a little low, but you're still, we can still hear you.
I just put the headset on. Tim and I have it on.
Yeah.
For me, thanks.
Real men here. Okay, another book, Young Avengers number 2. Interesting title. Back before Young Avengers number 1 came out, I was reading all these interviews that Kieran Gillen was given, who he's the writer for the book, and he was describing the book as being this book where it's about He coined the original Young Avengers book as a book about heroes being 15. So now he says like this iteration is about like heroes being 18 and the things they deal with that, whatever that means. It sounds like just a lot of media hype or spiel. Issue 1 came out. I wasn't crazy about it. The art is nice. But I've been kind of like, I got bad vibes from Young Avengers even before issue number one came out, but issue 2 came out this week. It it's okay. There were stuff I liked with it and stuff I didn't. I will say there's a lot of mind control going on in issue 2, and I just want to say I'm tired of all this mind control taking place in the Marvel now. Uncanny Avengers, we had the S-Men controlling the members of the Uncanny Avengers. There was another book that has some mind control elements in it. I can't think of it right now. But yeah, there's definitely two books that had characters being, Avengers, the Avengers, the singular Avengers title had Hulk being controlled by It's Nihilo. So I'm like, what? All these strong characters being possessed by some other means. It's kind of lazy writing. Come up with something better. But so yeah, there's a little elements of that in Young Avengers. But at least the story is kind of progressing. So I enjoyed that about issue 2. Art is nice from whoever is the artist. Is it McKelvey or
Jamie McKelvey? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did either of you guys read Journey into Mystery that Gillen wrote when he basically introduced Kid Loki and like did his adventures?
Mm-mm.
That was really good. I definitely recommend that you go back and read that. And that's really the only reason I picked up Young Avengers number 1, and I think Young Avengers number 2 is on my pull list for this week. So I'll pick it up on Sunday and read it. But Gillen, you know, he write, you know, he wrote such a great Kid Loki, you know, so mischievous, so devious, so well, like seriously well written, that, you know, I'm willing to give him, you know, he's got a lot of slack, a lot of leeway for me on this. You know, especially if Kid Loki remains like kind of the catalyst.
I think a big complaint about last month of number one was you don't see too much development of the team. You know, which in a first issue, you can only get so much. You know, I think in this one, you do see the team start to come together, but, you know, very slowly, Kid Loki is featured, you know, with Hulkling and Wiccan. You know, that's the one that's, you know, it's still developing in terms of, you know, them forming a team.
Yeah, they're still going through that whole forming the team progression, which, of course, you know, that happens with all new team books when they first launch. You can't just have the team be together in the beginning. Got to build, do the building. I do like how McKevie, he's creative with the way he does the, he illustrates the panels. So there's more, like in issue one, like the fight scenes had like, there's like rock music playing, supposedly, if you're reading a book, rock music with like the fight scenes. There's no music in this one one page scene, but it's still creative how he does it. You'll see it and know what I mean when you get to that point. Oh, it looks like Classic has found the Cyclops Was Right t-shirts. As I try to click on it. And takes me to Marvel.com. Okay, yeah, the yellow shirt with the Jim Lee styled Cyclops image with the hair showing. Now let's see. Only a couple more issues to go, and we'll be done. Guardians of the Galaxy 0.1. So it's not just a zero issue or a 0.1 issue. It's a 0.1 for Guardians of the Galaxy.
I almost didn't buy this because I was like, 0.1, is this free? And then, yeah, I looked at the price. It was full price. Like, why am I wasting money on a 0.1 issue? But, you know, I figured what the hey, I picked it up. And, yeah, you know, introduction to the team, I guess, or to the title, but. I just can't wait for them to launch.
Yeah, so basically this is a origin story for Star-Lord. You see his father, I think his father's name is, like if you say it in English, it's like Jason from Spartax. He crashes on Star-Lord's mom's ranch or whatever, and they, of course, get closed and has a baby. He impregnates her, and then it's like, oops, sorry, I gotta go now. Gotta go back into space, fight my war.
Hit it and quit it.
That's basically what it was. He hit it and was like, whoop, gotta go. And then it leaps forward and shows Peter Quill at, like, age 10 when the Badoon try to kill him. To kill his mom, and basically then at the end we find out it's Star-Lord telling his story to Tony Stark / Iron Man on whatever ship that the Guardians of the Galaxy are on, and then I guess it leads into Guardians of the Galaxy number one. Star-Lord, He trying to see how to describe him. It was a decent 0.1. I mean, nothing really happens. You just find out his origin. And I'm sure they twisted it somehow or stylized it.
Yeah, it's fleshed out. You know, it was like originally like a super short, you know, origin. And now they probably put a whole bunch of angst in there.
And a comment from William B. West. Going back to Kieran Gillen. Kieran Gillen is horrible in all caps. He's good at small press stuff, but his Marvel stuff is shit. Generation Hope, Iron Man, etc. And he also says he enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy 0.1. He thought it was an excellent issue, mirrored Nova number one a lot. I can see that.
Steve McNiven's art, his pencils are excellent.
What'd you say, classic?
Steve McNiven, his art on this is excellent.
Enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Yeah, his art is great. It's just a matter of how long is he actually going to stay in the book. Let's see. And actually, I was going to talk about Talon number 5 and Punisher Warzone number 5. Punisher Warzone was the final part of the Punisher Warzone limited series where he's taking on the Avengers. But I haven't read either one of those yet.
Well, I've read Punisher Warzone, and I, you know, it basically, number 5 took the same tone as, you know, the first four books, the first four issues, where the Punisher is, you know, one step ahead of the Avengers and outsmarting them. Only now he, you know, the final showdown, so he actually has to fight all of them at once. And, you know, I mean, eventually they do bring him down, you know, spoiler-wise, but, you know, basically it goes to show that the Punisher, you know, even in getting caught, you know, he knew what he was doing all along. He actually set it up so that, you know, someone can continue his work, you know, and if you're following, you know who that is, you know, so that's kind of how it ends. But, you know, and then Wolverine, he's been giving, you know, Frank Castle help all along the way. And, you know, he kind of steps in and does the same here, which, you know, at the end of the day, that's kind of just the understanding that they have. I'm sure Captain America is going to deal with him about that soon, but yeah. I just thought it was funny because Spider-Man already knew how tough the Punisher was, and it's like Iron Man and the rest of the Avengers, you know, got to experience that firsthand, and you could see their frustration just building, like, damn, this guy is just so freaking smart. Like, you know, Iron Man was pissed. You know, he stole his armor, and then he booby-trapped it. I mean, he just did so much stuff to him, so I thought it was a good series. And I kind of wish it could keep going, but, you know, Frank Castle can only, you know, take out so many Avengers.
If only Punisher was written that well in Thunderbolts. Didn't that come out? That came out this week, which it I made did. No attempt to try to read. I'm giving up on that book for now.
Why is that?
Because it's not good.
Very simple answer.
Nothing is happening in that book. And the art is bad. I mean, the art is clean. And I mean, it's not ugly or anything. It's just unappealing. Everyone's faces and head are shaped the same. And they look like clay figures kind of to me.
Wait a second. Where did I hear this? Someone was complaining about this on a podcast.
I'm pretty sure it was one of mine.
Yeah. Steve Dillon, though, right?
Yeah, Steve Dillon.
Yeah, that's tough to read. You know, like, he was, you know, he's good when he's doing, you know, kind of non-superhero stuff. When he was doing The Punisher and he was doing just, like, regular folks blown up and having their, you know, being chewed up by polar bears. I don't know if you remember that.
I've read about that.
Right. So, I mean, that was good stuff, but... You know, when he's doing, you know, like real, like hardcore team books, I don't know how his art would translate to that. I don't really know why they picked him to do this.
I knew William B. West would chime in. He says, everyone Dylan draws is toothy. They all have like 125 teeth in their mouths. And they make sure to display them too, which is a problem. Always got to... They're always gritting their teeth, and everyone's got humongous chins and foreheads. And plus, Thunderbolts is supposed to be this book about killers and whatnot, and there's not a lot of killing going on.
I disagree. There's quite a bit of killing, and bloodshed, and bodies thrown out everywhere. But it's just, I guess it's the way it's drawn. You know, you don't get that effect that they're killing a whole bunch of, you know, it's like you see Punisher and Elektra kind of back to back fighting, and you know, she throws the swords and you just see two big blood spatters where heads are supposed to be. But it just doesn't seem as gruesome as it would be if another artist was doing it. You know, it almost seems comical the way Dylan draws it. But, I mean, you know, he's got the track record of doing the Punisher, you know, when it was relaunched, you know, so, I mean, I'm kind of used to his art, so it's like I don't have as many complaints about it. I just think that, you know, it fits for the Punisher. I don't think it fits for, like, some of the other characters. Like, when you look at, you know, Deadpool or Elektra, it's just not as appealing to them.
Okay.
That's probably right.
All right. That's all the books I had to discuss tonight. Any that we did not discuss that you want to bring up?
No, we discussed all the ones I read. I can tell you that I've got a crap load of books I haven't read yet, like the Teen Titans, well, FF number 4.
Oh, that came out today, didn't it?
Yeah.
Or Wednesday. I need to look for that.
Journey into Mystery, 649, and that's with where Sif meets up with the Superior Spider-Man. You know, so I'm going to crack that one open eventually. And then Deadpool Killustrated number 2, Deadpool takes on Tom Sawyer. The one where he went up against Moby Dick was hilarious, and, you know, Deadpool is pretty much the man in Marvel, so looking forward to that. And then on the DC side also, Red Hood and the Outlaws, they've got the Death of the Family Aftermath in that one too, so.
You know, yeah, I'll probably read that this weekend. Yeah, the, like, Flash 17 came out, which I kind of want to read, but I want to start Flash from the beginning, so I'm holding off on that, and I'll probably jump and see what Teen Titans talks about, just because it's some the backlash from Death in the Family going on with that, and FF4, somehow I overlooked that. I need to look for that also, and then I'll read Talon and Punisher Warzone too. Talon I enjoy a lot. Supposedly something sort of big happens in this issue. So, we'll see. I'm assuming.
What's so good about Talon?
You know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's a former Talon off on his own, and he's being hunted by the Talons. But I don't know. I enjoy the writing in it, and it is, you know, even though it deals with the Talon continuity, it's sort of off on its own, doing its own thing. The Talon's name, who I forget now, he's someone compared him to Gambit, which actually kind of fits to me. And of course, I like Gambit, at least back from the heyday. And I like his ability. He's an escape artist, so that sort of comes up a lot. Him escaping, finding ways to escape things. And the art's good. Gillum March or Gillum something is the artist, and Typhon the Fourth, or however you say the guy's name, is the writer. I'll actually try to remember some of these people's names. I recognize the name if I see it. James Tynion the Fourth, I believe. I'm going to look on Twitter because he has Fourth in his name. James the Fourth. Let me see how exactly you say his name. Well, I'll look that up. William B. West chimes in. What's up with the Guardians of the Galaxy schedule? In the back of 0.1, the ship date for number 1 was yesterday. Yeah. I actually stopped paying attention to that shipping schedule because they like to mess around with that a lot. I just go to comiclist.com and see what's coming out that week. Because the advertisements in the back of the Marvel books have been wrong lately, so I don't even look at it anymore.
Sure. Even Comixology is wrong sometimes, too. They don't update nearly as quickly as I wish they would.
Mm-hmm. It's James Tynion the Fourth, and right, he's actually right. Taking over Red Hood and the Outlaws, and he's the writer of Red Hood. He's like Geoff Johns' protege. They did a lot of co-writing on some stuff, I believe. He actually started. I think him and Geoff did co-writing on the first like 2 issues of Talon. So there's that.
Wow.
But I think that's a good stopping point.
Yeah, I was. Unless you wanted to mention if you were going to MegaCon or not.
Oh, yes. I actually need to book my hotel, but as of now, I will be going down to attend MegaCon in Orlando March 15th through the 17th.
Excellent.
I just need to rent a car, book the hotel, buy my tickets. But, I mean, tickets aren't – I can get the tickets anytime. I've actually scheduled time this weekend to actually go on, like, Priceline and find cheap hotels and – or not cheap, but good deal on a hotel. Are you going?
No, no, no. How about you, Classic?
What? You emailed me saying we need to go, we can meet.
No.
Now Dave Nappy's backing out.
Nah, I'm in Brooklyn.
You don't want to say you had family down there.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, if I could make it, I would. But, you know, that's a little bit far. But, you know, I'd be happy to, you know, if you have any questions about what to bring, you know, you can hit me up, hit Classic up.
Yeah. I don't know if I guess I could take some comments to try to get signed. We'll see.
It's worth it.
Yeah, just look at the artist, whoever's going to be there, and, you know, kind of match that up with what's in your collection.
There. I did find out about this new convention out in Las Vegas that looks kind of promising this summer. So I might try to do that also.
Vegas.
No excuses too bad for Vegas.
Yeah. Going to every convention I can make it to.
Do it while you're young, Tim.
Yeah.
But I want to thank Classic Materia on Twitter and at you're just at Dave Nappy, right?
You got it.
For joining me tonight. Also, at PNC_Dirt, who had some laptop problems, computer crashed on them. PopCultureNetwork.com, and also at David Mack 290, I think his name is.
Yeah, David Mack 90.
Who dipped in the heat of the night. And shout out to people on Twitter sending me tweets while they watch. At William B. West on Twitter. He chimes in, just do New York Comic Con and be done with it. San Diego Comic Con ain't worth it. Yeah, actually, I wasn't going to do San Diego. I was going to do the Las Vegas. But, yeah, I actually do want to do the New York. So,
yeah.
Check out William's website, williambrucewest.com. Let's see, Dork Geekus on Twitter. He was tuned in a little bit. And at Ponderous, she was viewing and she helped tweet to spread the word to let people know to check out my YouTube channel live to see that. But I'm actually going to go ahead and upload this video to theclicknation.com so you can just have a nice web page where you can click play and watch it all. And I'll probably also upload it to the Click Nation YouTube channel, youtube.com/theclicknation. Find it on there. I originally said I was going to try to do these weekly. We shall see. Yeah. Maybe for now, instead of weekly, I might just do it where I'll wait for a week where there's like some good comic book stuff coming out. Like Batman Inc. number 8 was kind of a good reason to do it because they killed Robin. But like, let's see. I might do one next week because Age of Ultron comes out next week. Spoiler alert, I have read it.
Wow.
Courtesy of Mr. Dirt himself.
I'm like, is that a reaction, Tim? Is that a reaction?
I'm debating how much to say. Yes, it's interesting. Honestly, you've seen most of it already in preview art. Not most of it, but you've seen some of it in the preview pages that have been released. I've made it known that I'm not crazy about this Age of Ultron event, mostly because it was originally supposed to come out in 2010, I think. and they just kept pushing it off. So it's like, when does this take place? And other stuff. And they used, it reminds me of Fear itself a little bit and something they do. I'll just say that. It's nothing major. It's just some little thing that it was an image that reminded me of Fear itself. But yeah, I'll probably, since Age of Ultron is a quote unquote big event, we'll probably do this next week. And this is actually kind of convenient because I don't have to go back and add intro music and outro music, even though I guess I could. I don't have to do a bunch of podcast editing with this. It's just post it online and be done with it.
It's free flowing.
Yeah, it's free flowing. It's live and people can view. This is easier than actually trying to get people together to do a podcast. And actually, it's good because it's fun because you guys actually joined to interact with me. So if I did this, say, next week at the same time and actually started at 9 o'clock Eastern time, would you think you'd join to be my co-host, so to speak?
Wingman.
I guess it would be hard for you. You will not have read the books until Sunday, right, Dave?
Well, here's the thing. If you let me know what you want to talk about, I won't spoil myself. I'll just, you know, find my you know, the internet way of looking at it.
Yeah. Hold on, let me while we're doing this, I'm going to go look and see what else comes out next week.
Oh, yeah, I was actually looking at my pull list for next week. Superior Spider-Man number 5 is out. Uncanny Avengers number 6 is out.
Uncanny Avengers? Really?
Yeah, according to my schedule.
Hold on.
Uncanny Avengers number 6 is out next week because Daniel Acuna pops in.
Oliver Corpo is doing art on 5.
Oh, this might be an old... No, this is 6.
Yeah, because actually Uncanny Avengers 4 just came out this week.
Oh, that's right. So they're behind. So remember what I was saying before about Comixology being behind. They probably haven't updated this. Right.
Catch
haven't updated them. This pull list. Yeah.
Let's see. Marvel stuff. A plus X number 5, which I will read probably off... skim through that. Age of Ultron. All New X-Men 8, which I will read. Half of the stuff I have sent in my inbox right now. Avengers number 7.
Hey, Tim.
Yes.
Do you know anything about the new universe
from
Marvel?
But like William B. West.
Classic. Yeah, Classic might remember.
Oh, William B. West, who's watching, knows a lot about that because he tweeted me a bunch of info on it, which I've since forgotten.
Yeah, it's totally.
To the Avengers book, right?
Yeah, it's so interesting to see the Star brand come back. When I saw it, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're bringing this back.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cable and X-Force 5. What else comes out? Marvel. That's about it. Oh, Venom 32. Yeah. Let's see, DC stuff.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah. So this is comiclist.com you're using?
Yeah, and they have a little link. Like, if you go to the page, they'll have, like, the main page will have this week's stuff, but then at the top they have a little link for next week's list, comics list.
Gotcha.
Okay, by the way, did you pick up G.I. Joe number 1?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I had a chance to buy that. It was all right. Yeah.
The art looked good.
Yeah, it introduces you to the team, and it's a very, like, it's very whittled down to just, like, some of the basic Joes. Roadblock, Duke, Covergirl, Quick Kick, Shipwreck, and Doc, the female Doc, Doc's daughter is Doc. But her father, you know, the original Doc, is still alive. You know, he's kind of, you know, kind of giving her some pointers before going out onto the field. It's kind of like a reboot of G.I. Joe telling, like, basically forming the team now And they answered the general Joe Colton instead of Hawk. But, you know, right at the end, you know, we were introduced to the Baroness, you know, and so, you know, we're going to start seeing more Cobra take effect there. It's a decent start.
Let's see. Detective Comics 18, Green Arrow 18. Superman 17, if you're into the Superman books. I'm not. Kind of curious how everything else is on number 18, but Superman 7 is on just 17. Oh, wait. Yeah, okay, yeah, 17. But William Bruce West answered my question about the new universe. He said, Jim Shooter created it in the late 80s. Warren Ellis tried to bring it back with the new Universal a few years back.
That's right.
So question answered. So again, check out the website, theclicknation.com. There'll be news and podcasts. There'll be this podcast that you'll be able to rewatch. Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Follow my personal Twitter account at timdogg98. I run both Twitter accounts, so don't feel bad about following both accounts. Let's see, facebook.com/theclicknation, youtube.com/theclicknation, where this video will be available. If you want to send feedback to be read on either a live video podcast or an audio podcast, that's theclicknation@gmail.com. Find us on Google+, search TheClickNation, and you also find a TheClickNation community group. I think that's all the social network sites.
You sure that's enough?
Yeah, I kind of just do it by memory. I've said it enough times now. Yeah, there's no Tumblr. There is a Tumblr account, but I created that back before the website just so I could practice doing stuff online. There's no Pinterest, no Stumbleton.
Oh, Stumbleton, that's the door.
PopCultureNetwork.com, check out all their articles and my comic book reviews, which will link you straight back to my website, actually. But check them out anyway. ColdSlitterPodcast.com and EclecticRelaxation.com. Fellow friends, of course, and UnderscoreFire.com and WilliamBruceWest.com.
Hey, Dave, you got a website?
Nah.
Get on that, Dave. Come on.
I got to get on it.
You can find Dave here on the live Comic Book Chronicles. So for Classic Materia with no L, our sound effects guy, for Dave at Dave Nappy and at Tim Dio double G 98. I want to thank you for tuning in. It's late, man. I want to thank you for tuning into this episode of the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles. We'll see you next week, where we'll be discussing Age of Ultron, and you can hear me rant on it more than likely. I saved my rant for tonight. I was going to rant, but then I got into the show, and I said, forget ranting about my technical difficulties with the event earlier on. But anyway, thank you, and we'll see you later.
Peace.
Yes, Dark One! What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo! I'm steady tripping over them pages, some dog and Adam Black. No. pick or not. This is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby.